St John, his Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word Became Flesh is the title. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I have said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, the Son has made him known.
Well, thank you, David. I don't know about you, but I find that it's all too easy to get caught up in the lights and the carols, all the preparation for Christmas. It gets earlier every year, doesn't it? And somehow, you know, getting the right present is not easy. Making sure the family traditions are maintained. You've all got those, haven't you? The little family traditions. I came across a family recently who were making their own traditions for the first time. They had a plan to make family traditions. Somehow, it's all very good. It's a great time. But often, even as Christians, even as believers, we miss the significance of it. What really, really happened that day? Unto you this day is born a Saviour, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God had come near. John put it this way in his Gospel. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And nothing in all of history compares to that. Doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Do you remember Larry King, the famous American TV presenter? He was once asked, if he could interview anybody in all of history, who would it be? And he said, Jesus Christ. He said, okay, what question would you ask him? I would ask him if he was indeed virgin born. Because if he was, that would define history for me, said Larry King. He's not the most authoritative person to listen to on such matters, but he had it right, didn't he? What is it that this Christmas does? What does that story, what does that event do for us? What does it mean for the world to hear that the Word had been made flesh? Well, the first thing it does for us is it allows us to see who God is and what God is like. In John 1:18 that David read to us, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, is very close to the Father, and he has shown us what God is like." Most people will look at creation and they'll see the careful precision in the things that have been made, not by human hands. And most will acknowledge instinctively that there is a creator. A very large percentage of people in this country believe, acknowledge, that there is a God. So the question is not so much, is there a God, but rather, who is God and what is God like? Nature can tell us a lot about God. You can see something about his power, his beauty, but it can't tell you much about his personality or his immense love for each and every one of us. But when we look at Jesus, we see God, for Jesus is God. In verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the question we need to ask is, who is this God? What is he like? Because instinctively we know that we have violated his rules, we've abused his property, and we are at his mercy. Some people say that God is vindictive. That doesn't matter what you do, God's going to punish you ultimately. Other people go to the opposite extreme and say that God is a doting grandfather. Don't worry, God is going to forgive everyone, no matter what they do, no matter what. But frankly, these are just human speculations. Jesus came to earth to reveal to us what God is like. And he says, "I am God's Son. He who has seen me has seen the Father." We hardly notice the title there, Father, because we hear these passages so often, so familiar to us. But in many other religions, it is revolutionary to speak about God being the Father. It says a huge amount about him. When we think of God, we should be thinking of a loving Father. And it was Jesus who told us to address God as Father. We know names are important, and we like to be called by our name. And if you've got a slightly unusual name, you like people to get it right. And even a simple name like John, it's quite good when people get it right. I remember receiving one invitation where they made 3 mistakes in the spelling of my name. And since I have a very simple name, that seemed to be a real effort. And we don't like it when people get it wrong. And I feel for teachers these days, because there are lots of very interesting names that children get, and interesting extra bits added on as well. But throughout the Bible, we see that names really do matter. There are endless examples of the importance and relevance of names. And people were reluctant, the Jewish people were reluctant even to say out the Lord's name aloud, because they felt very anxious about using God's name. But when we come to the New Testament, Jesus tells us to address God in a dramatic new way. He says, call him our Father. The ordinary, intimate form of the Aramaic word. Nothing fancy. It's just personal. It's intimate. Yet Jesus used it most. Over 200 times in the New Testament, we see Jesus speaking about the Father. It was his name for God. So when we think of God, we should be thinking of a loving Father. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we see in 1 John 3, verse 1, how great is the love of the Father. How great is the love the Father has lavished, I love that translation, has lavished on us, so that we should be called children of God. For that is what we are, children of God. So when you think of God, think of a loving, compassionate Father who is full of grace and truth. A Father who has such an undying love for you that he's willing to become one of us. He's willing to take on flesh and then to nail it to a cross. The incarnation of God is really difficult for us to understand. How could he become man? How was it possible? But what is even more difficult to understand is why? Why would God do this for a world that rejected him? A world that had defiantly shook its fist at him and said, "We don't need you. We're okay on our own." A world that didn't even receive him when he came. Why would he do it? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. And when you look at the manger, you see a God who is willing to lay aside his glory so that you, one day, could live with him in his glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." And the Father is a loving, compassionate Father, full of grace, full of truth and love. And the second thing Christmas reveals to us, as we approach it through this last period of Advent, is the approachability of God. Do you know what the most common name used in the Gospels for God's Son is? Do you know what it is? It's not Lord Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not Son of God. It's not King of Kings or anything like that. It's simply Jesus. Nearly 600 times, Jesus. As far as we know, Jesus was a very common name at the time. It's the Greek version of the name Joshua. And there were probably two or three Jesus in every synagogue when you went around the country. Like a modern day Michael or Richard or David or even John. It's true. So many, you know, how many Davids, how many Johns, how many Jesus were there when he was walking this earth? And that's significant because when the Word became flesh, he didn't try to separate himself from the rest of us. He didn't want to be different from the crowd. He wanted to be so entwined with his creation that he didn't choose a lofty name like the Holy One or Majesty. He didn't put a title in front of his name like Reverend or Bishop or anything like that. No, it was simply Jesus. He was approachable. He was one of us. And he was touchable. He was reachable, as well as being approachable. And he was in many ways just ordinary. If you were here today, you probably wouldn't notice him walking through the shopping centre. He wouldn't turn heads with the clothes he wore. You wouldn't be surprised at the kind of mobile phone he had. It would just be an ordinary one. He'd be the kind of guy that you'd invite home to watch TV in your house. He'd play with your kids. He'd get down on the floor with them. He'd doze on your settee. He'd come into the kitchen and help you cook. He'd laugh at your jokes and tell a few of his own. And when you spoke, he'd listen to you as if he had all of eternity just for you. And people didn't shy away from him. It didn't matter if you were a Pharisee or a prostitute. They all came to Jesus, and they all felt welcome, challenged, but welcome. And there was not one person who considered him too holy, too divine, too celestial to touch him. And there was not one person who was reluctant to approach him for fear of being rejected. It's a very interesting passage in Hebrews, Hebrews 12. And let me read it, and I'll just miss one or two bits to help you get the flow of it. You have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, that is burning with fire. You have not come to darkness, sadness, or storms. You have not come to the noise of a trumpet or the sound of a voice like the one the people of Israel heard and begged not to hear another word. What they saw was so terrible that Moses said, "I am shaking with fear." No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the thousands of angels gathered together with joy. You have come to God, the judge of all people. You have come to Jesus. God, even though he was holy, is holy, still invites us to come to him. And better still, today he still comes to us. Because of Christmas, because of the incarnation, not only can we approach God without fear or trembling, and not only do men and women now have a better understanding of who God is, God has a better understanding of who women and men are. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God walked in our shoes. God experienced our experiences. There was a five-year-old boy one day playing with his two-year-old brother upstairs. And suddenly the two-year-old screams out because he's yanked. The two-year-old yanks the five-year-old's hair, and the five-year-old screams out in pain. And his mother comes rushing up the stairs. And he cries and he sobs and said, "My younger brother pulled my hair." And Mum said, "Well, he's only two. He doesn't know what it's like to have his hair pulled." And mother went off. 2 seconds later, what happened? Screams from upstairs. It's a two-year-old this time. And she rushes back. "What happened? What happened?" "Well, you said he didn't know what it felt like." "Well, now he does." And God knows what it feels like to be human. For 33 years, God walked this earth. He experienced what you and I have experienced. He got thirsty, he got tired, he laughed, he cried. Jesus knew what it was like to be abandoned. When he needed his friends most, they had all fled. And on the cross, he even yelled, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There is no amount of loneliness, no amount of physical pain or suffering that you or I are going through or will go through that he himself has not endured, if not worse. We have a God who is not cold and impervious to our struggles. We have a God who took upon himself flesh. He took on our flesh, our weakness, our humanity. We have a God who understands. In his book, Mortal Lessons, Richard Selzer tells the story of operating as a surgeon on a young woman who had a tumor on her cheek. And he said that he very carefully removed the tumor. But in doing so, he knew he was going to have to cut through a very tiny branch of a nerve. And unfortunately, that nerve controlled the muscles in her lips. And after the surgery was complete, her lips were twisted and contorted. He said she looked almost clownish, impish looking. And she was with her young husband when she asked the surgeon, "Will I always look like this?" And he said, "Yes, we cut the nerve." And immediately the young man, her husband, said, "I like it. It looks kind of cute." And he twisted his own lips to make them look the same as hers. And he bent down and he kissed her. And he said, "It's going to be okay. Our kiss still works." When we come to Jesus, we discover God meeting us, no matter how twisted our souls may be. There's absolutely nothing that you have done that prevents you from coming to the Lord this morning. You will never be bad enough where God's grace isn't sufficient for you. And you will never be good enough where God's grace isn't sufficient for you. On the first Christmas, Jesus came near. And he's near to us this morning. God has done all he could to win our heart. He gave himself for you and for me. And then he nailed himself to the cross, not with a hammer himself, but he lay down and allowed his sacrifice to be made. That's the love God has for you this Christmas. And if you have never responded to the love that is found in Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to find it for yourself. When we finish, David and June Scott will be across on the left-hand side of the church. Go and speak to them. Jesus has come. He is incarnate. He is here with us. God came to earth to live among man and woman so that we would have a route to him, a route to forgiveness, to be able to turn from our sin, to live afresh in a new way, and ultimately to be with him in glory. Do you want to be part of that journey? Do it this Christmas. Do it this morning before you leave this place. Amen.